Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back. There we are, a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me here in our very, very official recording studio slash the corner of our home bedroom is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's so great to have you. We have a lot to discuss today. Not really. We're going to discuss mainly one thing, which is a trip to New York City and all that entails a parent weekend away. What that takes to execute, what happens emotionally to you, to the children, to the grandparents that are left behind. And that's the big thing that we're going to get into today. So thank you for tuning in to our little podcast that could, wherever you are at, in your car, on your elliptical, on your family road trip. I've been told that some people Spring listen Breaker. To this on vacations. I've been told that some people listen to this as they take their kids to school. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's because you hear about our dysfunction as parents and you go, my kids will be more grateful if they listen to these terrible parents.
They might.
So we're here to serve in that regard. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody. Before we get going, couple things to promote. One, we may or may not have a book we absolutely have a book. It's officially out.
It's official.
We announced it this week, June 7th, How to Be Married to Melissa, a helpful, hilarious, one-of-a-kind book. I don't remember the subtitle. It's a marriage book, everybody. And the premise is that marriage books are stupid. This genuinely comes from the heart that I think when we were approached about writing a book, I've always wanted to write a marriage book that is just about one marriage. Its unique struggles, highs and lows and peaks and valleys. And
that's right.
And prisms and prisons. And I don't like formulas. I don't like anyone that's like, well, if you would just do this. And
the four S's.
Yeah. And men want respect and girls want love.
Because
women don't want to be respected and men don't want to be loved.
Isn't love respect?
Yeah, exactly.
I
actually, not to get too personal, I like to be disrespected sometimes. These are the only love languages, and these are the things, and here's your match your Enneagram number, and that'll me 100 years of marriage. I don't know. I don't like the formulas. And so this is just a book about our marriage where we take all the topics of the most common topics of strife in relationships, communication, money, in-laws, sex, kids, communicate. I say that one, fighting.
Balance,
work life, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we just talk about this is what it looks like for us. That's it.
And lots of jokes.
Yeah. So many jokes. There are a million jokes in that book. So yeah, so I hope you guys, you can order it on Amazon right now. Backseaters, there's no easy way for me to say this. I would be hugely disappointed in you backseaters if you didn't pre-order this book. I'm saying that in my most fatherly tone because you guys rock real heavy with us. All right. And I'm just here to tell you that that book is better than this podcast. it just had more rounds of edits. Yeah,
exactly. Times.
All due respect to Professor Steven. Professor C.T. English here.
Some folks are into the audiobook, which we recorded, and it's very fun.
Yeah.
You can also pre-order that.
You can
pre-order. Kindle.
You can do that now?
Okay. You can.
That wasn't there before. So.
And then this week we're announcing our pre-order bonuses.
Which include, I think, a Zoom hang for everybody that does it. And don't they get some stuff?
Right around lunchtime, we'll have a Zoom hang.
I think day of.
Yeah, unless you're busy with other things.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So right around lunch day, Zoom hang, we've got, you get the first three chapters digitally emailed to you. Mm-hmm. Just like as soon as we post about it. So like this week, you could read the first three chapters.
Oh, good.
And then the third thing is Mel's book club questions discussion guide. Yeah.
So if that's your thing, then.
So if you're into book clubs or whatever, buy some books and get some friends and.
Buy some books, get some friends.
Get a cheese board.
And you're like, hey, look who's got some questions here. They actually, all due respect to our publisher and that team, they sent us like an example of them, of what they could be. And Melissa goes, these are crap. And then she wrote her own. So enjoy that. As is normal the case, something was sent to Melissa that she goes, this isn't deep enough. This isn't personal enough. This isn't going to get the grit out of your soul the way that I want it to. Let Melissa's oversharing Q&A guide overshare with Mel is what we're gonna. That's what I'm gonna call this little advanced thing that you
no
can get.
Editor.
Yeah, exactly. Involved. So you can check that out. Just go to Amazon and pre-order it there. June 7th, it'll come out with forward by Taylor Tomlinson. And how about this for endorsements on the back of the book? Trey Kennedy, Angela Johnson, Kev on stage. Taylor did the foreword. Who am I forgetting?
Leanne Morgan. Mm-hmm.
So it's a good book.
Bunch of famous comics.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a chapter on faith in there. We might talk a little bit about a certain megachurch we used to go to. Not a lot. It's not a tell-all. I cannot tell you how insignificant I was at Mars Hill, people. It's, I wish, honestly.
It's not a tell-all, but no. You're going to learn a lot and you're going to laugh a lot.
It's memoir-ish. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to laugh a lot. Melissa's talking about her Q&A guide there, actually. So that's available. Also, patron Zoom hang is when?
Yeah, that's coming up Sunday, April 10th.
Sunday, April 10th. If you're not familiar with Patreon, we have a bunch of you signed up. We got a bunch of new patrons this week. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Patreon is just a way that you can get a little more from Dustin Eckerson Comedy, and you can get a give a little more as well. You just, it's
give and give.
Give and give. That's all. Receive and give. That's what it is. You give money, you get extra things. You get access to content, you get gimmies, you get signed posters in the mail, potentially. You get a monthly Zoom hang. You get, they saw the book cover before anybody else. You know, they knew about all this. It's an
interesting Christmas card. You also are going to be posting something this week that they get first.
Yeah. I think my set from South by Southwest is going to be up there soon. So check that out, everybody. Finally, you backseaters really know, but I've been very kind of coy about this online. Tour dates are about to come out. These are what we have right now, though. On May 4th, I'm going to be in Atlanta. On June 16th, Portland. June 18th, Bakersfield. June 22nd, Phoenix. July 1st and 2nd, San Diego. July 7th and 6th, Chicago. July 8th and 9th, Rosemont. July 14th through 16th, Huntsville, Alabama. July 23rd, Nashville, Tennessee. July 29th and 30th, Appleton, Wisconsin. August 11th, Sacramento. August 14th, happy anniversary, honey, Oxnard, California. August 17th, Irvine. August 27th, Seattle, Washington. August 28th, Spokane, Washington. This is a new one on sale September 1st, Charlotte, North Carolina. And actually, the day before that, that's going to go on sale 8:30. That's going to go on soon, very soon, is Raleigh, North Carolina. September 2nd and 3rd, Indy. September 10th and 11th, Jordan's Landing, Utah. That's new on sale. September 17th, Minneapolis. Tickets are going for that. I do absolutely expect that to sell out. That is so many months away, and it's already at like 60% sold. September 22nd, Kansas City. September 23rd and 24th, St. Louis. September 25th, Louisville. September 29th, Houston. September 30th through October 1st, Austin. And September 19th, Philadelphia. To go on sale most likely this week is also going to be June 9th and 10th, D.C. And only ones left are San Francisco and Dallas, and then like Detroit and stuff. That'll be kind of deeper in the fall. So there you go. DustinDickerson.com/shows. Speaking of shows.
Awesome.
So we were in New York this last week, and Melissa started off with just a nightmare trip from hell.
Mm-hmm. So I got the email on Thursday night that my flight had been delayed, and I was taking a 7 a.m.er out of San Diego to JFK. And so then I was like, that's fine. I'll get all the kids to school. I'll do all this. And then I left the house at 11 for the flight. And then it continued to get delayed all afternoon at about 5:30. Does that sound right? You were performing at the Beacon, and I was told that my flight got canceled. They had pushed us all off to the 8:30 on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at that point, I'm like crying in the airport with my paper mask.
Not because she misses me and that she's missing the New York opportunity. She is crying because the Qdoba has closed.
Qdoba closed on me. My kids are calling me nonstop.
Devastating. You're still in the city of origin. You're not even lost at some middle airport. You're still in. Bad story long, you left our house at 11 a.m. and your flight left for New York at 11 p.m.
Yes.
And I think what was probably most demoralizing about that whole situation, because we changed flights, not changed airlines, changed, or not just like, we changed whole airlines.
Yeah.
Canceled the Delta flight, and which meant you had to go get your bags.
Yeah, and I had books and the book banner.
You were carrying stuff. You were moving a lot of stuff. You had to exit security, go get the bags of a flight that never happened. They had taken.
So I had to talk to them to see if they were going to reimburse me for that baggage that I paid for. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go get the baggage, leave security. The gate check at United took my ID, didn't give it back to me. So I didn't have that in the security line. And then I had a water bottle in my backpack. So it got caught.
Really dreamy stuff.
Second time through security in San Diego. And by that time, Qdoba had closed. I had to have a sad flatbread pizza alone in the airport as the sun set.
I travel every weekend. We calculated on the plane home that I think I've spent about 128 full days on a plane.
Like,
right?
24 hours.
24 hours. I've spent about 128 days on a plane. I've never had that. I've never in all of the time. And your last flight, you got delayed too.
Two for two were, that one I was on the flight.
Yeah.
And they were like, this plane can't fly.
Well, what was the Denzel Washington quote about Will Smith? You know, the devil comes for you when you're at your highest or something.
Your lowest?
No, your highest.
Oh, highest. Ooh.
And that was you, Melissa.
Highfalutin.
You were just rolling out. Country Mouse was headed to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling out, checked bags, flying out. She's got some status on her flight. She's ready to go. She thinks she's going to check into JFK, catch a, actually, I'm just going to do a little show for her. Have a black Escalade waiting for you to take you to the hotel where you're going to have time to put makeup on and then go to the show at the Beacon. Incorrect.
Nope.
Oh, how the mighty were humbled as you get delayed for 12 hours, essentially, at an airport. And then you proceed to take a red eye, of which you don't sleep a single wink.
No, I couldn't sleep at all. I got twitchy and had no space. And I couldn't sleep. So then I get to Newark and I find
we changed airports that you were landing in.
I get my bags. I get my ride. And I start heading into the city. It's like 6 a.m. and everyone's like waking up.
I will say that's the craziest thing about a red eye is that you land and you're like, it's like in Castaway when he shows up and there's like that meal, like the buffet, and there's like the little thing and it's like fire. Everything's so posh and easy and they have a totally different life and you're like, you have no idea what I just went through. And that's what people don't see you. You don't realize, you're like, you understand I've been up all night, right? Like you guys like slept and you're coming too.
I
lived through hell last night.
I got a breakfast sandwich at the airport.
Yeah.
Because I had time to kill. And I was like, well, I might as well eat. If I haven't slept, I might as well eat again. But I didn't get any coffee. And then on the drive into the city, like, we started going over bumps.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
It's like nodding off.
I meet Melissa in the lobby of the hotel. It's funny because you do go, it is a bit like the old Louis bit. It is very hard that you did it. But then once you got in the air, once you texted, like, I'm leaving, I was like, great. And I just like slept for 5 or 6 hours. And then you were in New York and you're like, okay, well, that part's incredible to go from Southern California to New York in 5 hours. Like, I didn't even get a full night's rest while we were waiting for you to get there. You get there and I pull down the blackouts and you are gone. You are totally out of it. You're farting in the bed, which you never do. You're so gassy. You've got the travel toots.
12 hours in an airport will do that.
Melissa does not care anymore. Melissa has farted in front of me 5 times in the history of marriage. You farted for an hour straight as you just tooted a little tune to sleep. And then when you woke up, I opened the blind 7 hours later because I'm like, hey, we're in New York. I know
it's
you.
It's 2 p.m.
You want to get to it here. We have a show to catch and you probably want. And I brought up the toots and you had no memory of it whatsoever.
No.
You're like, last night is a blur.
Yeah. That's what I'm worried about is we're both taking red eyes. In two weeks.
I did look that up. So that's a funny one. So we're out. You're joining me out with Taylor. We're going to be in Birmingham and Nashville and then Knoxville.
Yeah.
And we're doing the Ryman again. And you're like, well, we should do the Ryman. I was like, well, here are your options. You know,
I didn't get to see you with the Ryman last time. So I really want to come.
So you're doing the whole run with us, which is fun because like you toured with me and Taylor this weekend, but that's not touring.
We didn't move hotels.
No. We're in the same city.
Yeah.
We walked to both venues. We walked to the beacon and we walked to the town hall. So yeah, when you're in New York, we logged like six miles each day. So I am coming from Seattle and you're coming from San Diego. I looked at that this morning and we meet in the Atlanta airport and then we do get on the same flight to Birmingham.
What? 6 a.m.
It'll be about 3 a.m. your time when you land. Yeah. Yeah. I've done that. I've done that red eye from San Diego to Atlanta. And it is, I mean, because you wake up in the busiest airport in the world.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be waking up, but yeah.
No, I mean, you have to, because otherwise you won't be able to get out of that matrix. So you have about an hour and a half to 2 hour layover. And then you'll probably just meet me at my gate when I land and then we'll go find our way. But yeah, we'll be out of it. You'll be. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Birmingham. You know, all due respect to Birmingham, I don't think we're going to be like, man, we better wake up and experience Birmingham.
That's true. We can sleep.
We'll sleep till showtime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can't do that though, because then you won't sleep that night. Yep. Okay. It's really glamorous out there. The road, everybody. Early flights, red eyes, you know.
My hat goes off to you and all the comics who do it.
Who just, you know, normally though, it's not as big a deal because you have the room to yourself. So those tootin' toots don't really affect anybody. Or traveling toots.
Traveling toots.
We got the traveling toots because I haven't been eating a home-cooked meal and I haven't seen a vegetable in a while. My stomach is not doing well. I got the traveling toots. That's it.
This 100% true.
Yeah, it's very hard to eat healthy on the road. It's why you like it's after a while you're just like, I just need to go to a grocery store and I'm just going to eat an apple. I would just like to I saw Zoltan post of
that fruit tray in the green room.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I don't get my fruit cut up very often.
Yeah. And so, Taylor loves Mexican food. Loves Mexican food. Yeah. So every other meal is Mexican. And I love Mexican food too, but you're just like, I mean, this is not going to help the traveling toots.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, we get up. We're in the city. Now, I understand that a trip to New York is not relatable for everybody. And we will talk a little bit about that. But what is relatable to everybody, our parent listeners, that is, and really anybody who's ever prepared for a trip. One of my favorite things about you, Melissa, is when you prepare for a trip, it can be the most glamorous, most exciting trip in the world. But when it comes to packing, you go, I'm not sure if I want to go on this anymore.
It's not worth it. The prep to pull off a solo parent trip it's not worth it. I make categories, you know, like to think about after the trip and then to think about like before the trip.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I mean, I can't wash the car before the trip. I can't.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's really, actually, that would be a hack that I would recommend because I do that too, where you just,
when you have a big project,
when you have a big trip coming up, you really do, and this is like life and stuff in general, but when you do have a big weekend trip or something coming up, you have to go, this is what I have to do before and this is what I have to do after. Yard work,
and then
is
you start docking, you know, crossing stuff off, like I don't have time for that anymore, like, you know,
yard work is a great example, because I'm actually pretty sure our neighbor weed-eated part of our lawn without us asking, because that's how bad it is. But I was like, that has to wait till after this trip, because not only are we, this is a work trip, this is a big work trip, you know, this is New York City, it's a big trip, it's a high ice trip, we got the book, we got stuff coming out, Mel's gonna be there, big one, and
we took pictures, we did, you know,
we'll talk about New York pictures. Before the end of this episode. Good Lord, I thought the fight we had before this about my microphone positioning was bad.
Yeah.
Wait till we get to New York. Pictures.
Just wait.
You do. I will. We left with Grandpa.
I have a series of trips this spring. We've got your sister.
Most of them are coming out. Most of them are a lot like this one, where they actually, the other ones are even more blatantly work related. That they're like, you're coming to Austin, but we're doing the Ivy Spot again, and you're on that one, or like there are ones that are like, hey, this is
we're seeing our publisher in Nashville,
right?
You know, et cetera,
et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you have a series of trips coming up.
So, yeah. So I was able to get a couple of friends to help with this one, and Grandpa. Mm-hmm. So they hit up a birthday party. They weren't even invited to it. But yeah, we know the people and they were like, yeah, they can come. And so they all went to that. There was some swim lessons. There was a canoe race, a local canoe race that Grandpa took on with Gloria. Joel had to walk home a couple times from school. There was another, oh, they went to the baseball fields, like a Little League game.
Yeah.
Again, we don't have a Little League kid, but they went. Yeah.
Our kids crashed a lot of events.
They did.
In the name my parents are gone.
Yeah. And then we have our router that turns off, like, eat,
yeah,
put the food away.
What I would
continue on your screen time binge. Yeah.
As I hear you say this, what I say is, like, if you want to have a smooth parenting trip, or trip without your kids, what you need is 15 years of parenting experience.
Uh-huh.
And 10 years of forged relationships in a community.
100%.
That's all. That's all you have to do for it to go somewhat smoothly.
Just to network enough,
yeah,
over 10 years that you have places for your children to be, yeah, with friends or that maybe they enjoy.
You might have that grandparent that's like the best and just can do everything or whatever. And is like, I love it. Yeah, I'll drive them to everything.
We're making jewelry and pancakes. Yeah. Pottery. Yeah.
Yeah. We, our grandparent situation is not that situation. And honestly, very few are. It's like, it's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a modern world.
It's exactly. You know, it's a modern world. Grandparents are still working. You know, they're starting their YouTube channels.
They're hustling.
They're going big on TikTok, you know.
They are.
They
got to worry about their accounts.
These boomers and these Gen Zers, you know, they got so much in common. They've got a, you know what? They got a crappy economy they're dealing with too. You know?
They didn't want this for retirement.
They're dealing with these high flight prices and these gas prices right now. It's so expensive. It is so expensive. Yes. I got offered a gig the other night, and here's a little lesson in comedy economics, if anybody is interested to hear such a thing.
Yeah.
If somebody's interested in booking me a gig, this will be good for you to hear too. So this gig is outside of Atlanta, and they offer me X. So let's say, just we'll solve for X here. Well, we're not solving for X, but they offer me X, all right? And that's called, and they say all inclusive. And what that means is this is the total number that you don't get
another cent.
Yeah. This is it. Say it's $100. You don't get another cent no matter what. There'll be no reimbursements. No, we're not going to book your travel, whatever it may be. Okay.
Get here, do the gig, leave.
Right.
Here's your check.
10% of X is immediately gone because it goes to my booking agent who would have lined up that gig for me. All mm-hmm. right. And now we have to figure out what our net X is. And that includes the basics, a round trip flight, a hotel, a rental car because it's not near a major city. Okay.
Gas.
$1,200. Yeah. Minimum. For one night in Atlanta right now.
Yeah, and that's not food or gas. Yeah.
No, that's no. So yeah. 1200, so or we're bags. Deducting $1,200 plus 10% of X before we, and you just go, okay, well, you might have to book a local. I know some great clean comedians.
I just, I know that artists are not going to be able to travel.
Yeah, as much. I mean, sometimes we have to.
I mean, like, even during the pandemic,
right?
The pandemic travel was affordable in because a way people that weren't booking, it's not
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, I won't pretend to understand why prices are up. I know that they're not going to go down during the summer though, because they never do.
No.
Gas prices, hotel prices, flights, none of that goes down. Our the majority of our vacation this summer is going to be paid on points. So there you go.
And it's also work.
I don't remember how we, it also work. Yeah. Well, yes, it's at least half work, but you're working too. And some of them. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
We were talking about planning for a trip.
And you said
I do a page a day and I type out like, Joel, don't forget to bring house keys. Gloria, brush Claire's hair. You know, feed the cats.
Yeah.
Shut the blinds. Everything.
From what I understood, Gramps crushed it. I actually think, I don't actually have any reason to believe that he did anything other than absolutely crush it. I think he was working from a little bit of like, hey, you guys have been helping me out with these surgeries. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna really step up here. He told me yesterday that, you know, they had to go out to the Fiesta Island.
He had to go twice to Fiesta Island.
Which is not an easy thing to find or get to. He went out and did it. And he goes, and I couldn't even figure out the internet thing. So me and Claire just had like a nice visit for a couple hours. And I was like, okay, that's great.
That's great.
And that's get home, and the things we have to deal with are cleaning the house and putting the stuff away. And that's to be, also Claire has not been bathed. Claire looks like a cavewoman.
Yes. As a parent, you know, I did all the laundry Wednesday and Thursday, bathed Claire, then I got to do all of that again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All of that has been undone. In four days.
What would it be? What's it like mm-hmm.
There's peanut butter on the bathroom floor I just found.
Why? Oh, I remember. Why? Okay, I'm going to tell this story. Mel and I... We have two nights in New York. Mel and I... Okay, how can I tell this story? On our last night in New York,
we get a FaceTime.
Let me set up the whole picture here. Okay. So the last night we have shows. We're staying across the street from Central Park. Our shows are at the Town Hall, which are essentially like Broadway shows. It feels like you're performing on Broadway. The theater, the Town Hall is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's great. We're having a great time. You're there. You're recalibrated sleep-wise. We found mm-hmm. our coffee spot we want to go to. We've done our Central Park walk. We've done a lot. We did some shopping. We did the stuff. We feel great. We do the shows. We decide we're going to go. We're like, you know what? Let's go have some drinks.
Yeah. We're still on West Coast time, which is great.
Yeah. And so, we're performing. And, you know, we're out and about. You know, we're
two nights in New York.
As a matter of fact, we have some friends who are in New York, former front seater Dustin Kensrew, who are in New York at the time. And we're like, hey, do you guys want to meet up? And then we realize, like, oh, you guys are on kids' trip.
Spring break.
They're like, we could do breakfast at 8:45 before we go see the Statue of Liberty. And like, with all due respect,
we cannot make that.
Dustin and Chadley. Absolutely not. A resounding no. And I can hear on their side of the text that they're like, we wish we were on your trip. Because kids' trip is fun, but not as fun as no kids' trip. And we had some friends that are here who were just out drinking and cruising the streets of New York, having a fun time. Anyways, going to speakeasies and having their time. We go get a few drinks.
What about the homeless lady?
Oh, the best homeless lady in the history of homeless ladies. As we're walking back to, she earned her $5 from me. Mm-hmm. She just started walking to us and she hit like three or four jokes in a row. Boom, 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 boom. What's the best nation? A donation. Hey, I'm just trying to get a slice of pizza here. You know,
she was good.
Yeah. I was reaching for my wallet before she hit the last joke. I gave her $5 happy, you know, to do it. She's crushed it. So mm-hmm. good. And we know this is kind of our last night. So we go back to the hotel. We're winding down. We're doing the things that couples do as you're enjoying your final night in New York. We're watching a little movie, you know, there's plenty of romance and such in the air. We're enjoying ourselves. And out of nowhere, we're watching a little movie. That sounded dirty. I didn't mean it like that. We were watching Bridesmaids. Guys, we were having a drink in our hotel. We're adults. You know exactly what I'm talking about with the direction that this evening was going. And out of nowhere, we get a FaceTime. We get a FaceTime from our middle kid, who has gotten a comb stuck in her hair.
Yes. It was not funny. She was very upset.
But she was laughing about it.
But she was laughing about it.
Yeah, it hurt. She was sad. And I tell you, Melissa Nickerson gave her the coaching session of a lifetime. 3,000 miles away, 3 hours in the future. We kept telling me, like, guys, it's like 2 or 3 in the morning here, with our mindset being in a completely different direction. And you were just coaching.
I mean, you're always a parent.
I wasn't a parent at that time.
Coconut oil.
I'd never even heard of a child at that time. You were going,
coconut oil. And I was trying to explain to her, like, start at the ends and try to loosen them. She cut the comb out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently there's some I think they went the peanut butter route too on their own.
Yeah. Well,
then stayed up and made brownies. So I don't.
Yeah.
The timeline. Who knows? The peanut butter, I don't know.
I'm doing efficient dad thing where I go, here are your options as I see them. All right. You can cut the comb out. All right. Or you can live with that comb in your hair until we get home tomorrow morning.
And she was on spring break.
And which mom can do this for you.
Yeah, and I could have taken it out, I think.
And I said, and even if you do cut it out, we'll get you a haircut, we'll fix it up. Yeah. I didn't even notice, but I would imagine if it was my hair, I would notice a little more. That's like when people tell me
that they don't
notice my hairline is receding. And you're like, well, I do every single day of my life.
It's not that bad.
Every picture I see, every time I go swimming, every time I get out of the shower, you know, there are things that we notice, you know.
Yeah. So we got our NYC bucket hat and mm-hmm. we got our haircut tomorrow. So
this will hold you over until then.
Yeah. So we did our best.
I was really impressed. It was some really strong mom parenting moment there. But you could see also the distress in her face. And every call that we had gotten from her at that point was like, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I? And so part of me is like, you know what? I you don't deserve this, but I don't have a lot of sympathy for you right now because you've been spamming us for 2.5 days. But can you turn the internet back on? Can I go to shopping with your friends? And you really stepped it up and I was impressed.
Well, thanks. It didn't really help, but I tried. Thankfully, it was a low-key emergency.
It was, yeah.
A good way of looking at it. Stuck in your daughter's hair is...
Especially when we found out they were cooking while we were gone.
No, she was making no-bake things.
Oh, yeah, I see.
She wasn't allowed to turn on the oven.
That's for the best.
Yeah. I don't know. We made it.
We're going to tell a couple more stories here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys the story of Saturday in New York. Saturday is the day that I don't have a show, but we're going to a show that night. All yes. right. So this is kind of our New York day.
People fly in and just see Broadway shows and leave.
Yeah.
Which they must have a lot of money.
We have seen what there is to see. Money's all relative, right? We have seen what there is to see in New York as far as like the touristy things. Like we've done some Broadway shows. We've seen the Statue of Liberty. We've gone to Chelsea. We've gone down the High Line. We've gone to the Met. You know, there's a million other things to do.
Times Square.
And so we're like, hey, let's kind of get going slow. And because you're recovering from a sleep situation, we'll get some coffee. We'll go cruise Central Park. We did. We had a lovely walk. It was really nice weather while we were there.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
We cruise Central Park. We have some people take some pictures. Mom sees a turtle with a baby turtle talking to a duck on a rock.
Ugh,
very, so very lovely. It was very crowded. There were a lot of people. And it's nice. Things are chipping along. And we decide, was that the day we did a little shopping too?
No.
Because we're like, hey, this is the night out.
And
Mom's bought a dress.
You know, I take longer to get ready.
Which is fine.
So I'm like, I actually need more time than you.
We've whitened our teeth.
We both have to get in this shower and get ready and all that.
So we head back to the hotel.
Yeah.
We start getting ready. Everything's going fine. We're meeting up with Taylor and her sister, Bryn, to go to get some food. And we go and we find a great restaurant. Spoiler alert, it was Mexican. We had reservations. It was fine. Everything's chipping along nicely. Food's good.
Yeah. Food's good. It was a great restaurant. Good.
Desserts are unbelievable.
We had a lot of time, so we just stayed at our table.
We did have a lot of time. And that's an important element because somewhere along that time, I checked TikTok. Now, remember, TikTok is, I'm not browsing TikTok.
No.
I don't browse TikTok.
No, it's work.
I'm just seeing how the stats are doing. And a seed gets planted. A seed of bitterness and resentment gets planted in Melissa's heart that will bloom about 30 seconds before curtain time. Before the show starts. And what that seed was, is as I understand it, is Mom had a dress. The lighting was good. I didn't take a picture. And I did look at TikTok.
Yeah. So we were in a hurry to make it to our reservation hotel.
This is at the restaurant. There was no rush at any point of the night.
We were whatsoever. Rushed.
This is incorrect.
We were rushed.
This is incorrect information.
I was rushed.
You were not rushed. You had more than enough time to get
I didn't have time for a photo.
No.
We've been together.
This is incorrect. This is
for 20 years.
This is false information. We were at that meal. We stretched the meal out.
I agree, but we were rushed to get to our 5 p.m. reservation.
Okay.
And we tried to push it off and they were like, no, we're all booked. So we were rushed to get to our friends and get to the hotel on time or the restaurant on time.
I keep saying hotel. Okay.
And so what I mean is if you have some time and you're at a cool hotel, you should snap a photo before you get to your restaurant.
They have mirrors
everywhere. It's all fancy and trendy and
right.
furnished, cool.
But you weren't thinking that.
But I was like, no, we have to go to the restaurant. We're running out of time. And then the restaurant, they put the blinds up. It was gorgeous. It was still bright because right. it was 5 p.m. dinner. I wasn't comfortable entirely to be like, photo shoot in front of our friends. But I didn't realize I wanted a photo. Because for 20 years, I'm like, babe, you got to get a photo before the sun sets because then the lighting is bad.
This is also not fully accurate because other times you don't want a photo.
Yeah.
And you're very explicit that you don't want a photo.
So, and then.
I do want a photo or I don't want a photo or I do want a photo right at the right time. And if you offer to take a photo at the wrong time, you're an idiot.
Okay. You haven't expressed that to me until the second, but yes, sometimes you offer to take a photo and I'm like, not now. And yeah. I get that. But what I mean is, in our relationship, we have a history of saying like, let's take a photo. And then you say, let's wait.
Yes,
we'll get it
true.
Later.
Yes, that is true.
And so sometimes I wait to ask for the photo because I know you're going to say that.
Right.
And when you're with a new group or new people, you can get self-conscious about photos. And then when you got out after
And you get self-conscious dinner, with photos anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. After the pandemic and life and sad things. Yes, I get weird about photos, you know, middle-aged. And so, yes, I'm weird about photos, but I wanted one and I didn't know I wanted one until you grabbed your phone after dinner and I was like, he's going to take a picture of us.
Right, right.
And then TikTok. And then I went to the bathroom and I was like, but I didn't fully realize it until we met up with our fifth person in our group at the play. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, the lights were going down and we're sitting next to the fifth person of our group having a little spat about a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when I was able to say like, no, I wanted you to take a picture. And then you got on TikTok and that made me really angry.
And then
I didn't realize how angry it made me until that moment.
And then 45 seconds later, Hugh Jackman was singing 30 feet in front of us.
And then by like intermission, we were like, we were.
I didn't enjoy the full, I haven't told you, I couldn't enjoy the first half an hour of the play because you were just seething angry at me. And I was like, where did this come from?
I know.
Also, could you have held this in?
I was holding it in. I didn't realize it.
Could you have? No. Could you have not? Could you have thought to maybe wait till intermission to process this? Yeah. No, it is funny because we spent the first, it was actually weird. First 15, 20 minutes. We were, when there would be a break, like a clap, I would be like, are you over there?
You're still mad?
Where are you? I'm sorry. I don't understand. Just so I'm clear, you didn't ask for a picture, but you wanted a picture and you were mad because you thought I was going to take a picture, but then I didn't take a picture.
Yes.
But now I can't take a picture because the moment has closed. And I will tell you, all the pictures did turn out.
The theater lighting was awful.
Every picture we took actually turned out terrible.
Yeah,
they were all bad. We got zero good pictures from New York. Zero good pictures.
Andrew, the photographer.
Well, yeah, we got some professional photos for a headshot that I have coming up. Yeah. But they were absolutely...
Saturday, we did not document it, and that's okay.
No, and then... so the picture fight actually continues because we get over that. It's fine. I apologize. And I go, you're right. Yeah, I knew. I'm out more, and so I don't always think about it. Also, you had this new dress that you were crazy about, which I didn't really care for the dress. And
I know.
That fight kind of is continuing. I didn't dislike the dress. I thought it was fine, but you liked it more than I liked it. And I didn't realize that you're like, I need this documented. And I was like, that?
I know. Well, ideally we shop together, but you know, it's not always possible.
Yeah, floral stuff doesn't do much for me.
I know.
It doesn't, you know, and that's okay. It doesn't have to. We don't have to like all each other's clothes. But I wasn't like, man, but the outfit you wore the next day, I was like, everybody, let's get some photos of this, you know? I did apologize because I should have been more mindful of that. I should have been more, it's not in my nature to be like, let's document this and in this sense.
Yeah.
But I also understand that that's in large part because me traveling or doing a thing is not as noteworthy as it is for you. It is a more special thing than it is for me. It's like I take pictures when I'm home for Christmas because I'm like, I don't take these for granted.
You know, the group has kind of decided it's cold. We're going to be casual because it was an 8 p.m. showing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but like... I'm also allowed to like look how I want to look.
Can
like, this is a special night.
I want more photo relationship bad stories sent to don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. I don't think
yes.
I know we're not alone in this. And so I want to hear more.
And because like an Instagrammer or like the husband of an Instagram, or what's it called? Instagram boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, like that's like the joke is that like you're just doing it for the photo. You had a terrible time on your trip.
Right.
You didn't even go to the play.
Right,
you just
right,
took
right.
a picture the in front of the marquee.
The wild stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and so there is a balance to that. And with Instagram and you're like, oh, but I have to look cute. But who am I looking cute for? My
right.
like friends I never talked to online or my right. followers I don't know, you know, all of that. But the funny I mean, it's not funny, but I guess I got you back because on Monday I posted like 10 photos of our trip and the first
I've never looked worse.
And I didn't run it by you.
Pants looks loose, like sloppy. I'm unshowered. I'm showing midriff of my belly that gut riff. It's the worst photo in the history of photos. My posture looks bad.
At the buildings, because yeah. it was right when I got in New York. I woke up from my day sleep.
Yeah.
And it's a strikingly cool photo of Central Park.
Yeah. And for context, I have 50,000 followers and I'm a verified Instagram account and you
yeah,
are a private account
under
with like 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
it's a different
it's
thing
private.
And everyone
yeah.
knows us. So it is a totally different thing. I totally get that. But I also, that's not, there's a middle story in there, which is I do post photos on Sunday morning of which I thought were very, I post two funny ones of us trying to get a photo and then what I thought is a nice one. And then I delete that because you are seething angry at those photos. You are so mad.
We were trying to get our friends in the photo and then they were like, no, you guys just do it. And then we were like, we don't even like this photo or this background.
Right.
The whole
well,
point
and then
was
Hugh
a group
Jackman
picture.
Came outside to like say hi to everybody.
Yeah.
And take pictures and stuff. And so like all the, there was just a lot of general, the energy was going in a different direction
and
altogether.
And we were all as a group of five trying to figure out what our post-show plans were.
Right.
Which it all worked out, but it was stressful.
I think, you know, it's, yeah. I mean, listen.
Group dynamics, it's hard to do fun things. They require some give and take. And
it
we
is,
had a fantastic night, but it's a lot of work.
It's very hard to document things too nicely because it like the photos are great-ish, but like, are they a photo? Like a photo is hard work. And you have to either inconvenience your group or bring your ring lighting. Or there was a great Influencers in the Wild I saw yesterday of a girl who brought a light and was taking pictures of her food at a restaurant. It was so funny. Or you're just in the hands of like a stranger, like who you ask at the park.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you look young. That's like when we went to Van Gogh and everyone's like, them. Have them take the picture.
Yeah.
This is actually a constant battle that I have with Taylor. She's always upset with the pictures I take of her. I was like, well, you're going to have to stop asking then. Because
well,
this
the camera quality is only so good.
Well, I mean, the camera's qualities are incredible. But if we're comparing to professional photos with lighting
with
and
lighting,
stuff, you know, I've got nothing. I also, I look like hell in my videos and pictures. I just don't even... That's part of it. You know, that's part of the brand, baby. The approachability of it all.
So
you
maybe,
get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Maybe just the stakes are so high for photography now that it creates a lot of fights. And I don't think we're the only ones.
Please send us more of those at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com because Melissa regrets going to New York now over that. We will do a bingo dingo of Music Man, and then we will retire here. Bingo dingo, by the way, we realize mm-hmm. not everybody's familiar with our bingo dingo system here. Bingo dingo is our official rating of how we review entertainment, pop culture, music,
anything
museums, activities,
review.
Anything you yeah. can do a review on, you know, concerts. This will be our first Broadway show, Bingo Dingo, and it comes from nothing more complicated than as a dad I started using the phrase a while back, bingo dingo, and we're like, that's funny, that's a very dad thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get 5 bingo dingos. That's the highest rating that you can get, and you can get 0 bingo dingos. Never I don't think anything's gotten a 5. Maybe Spider-Man got a 5. No,
I gave Sing 2 a 5.
Melissa gives a lot of 5s.
I give a lot of 5s.
I gave Spider-Man the most recent one, I gave that a 5 out of 5 viewing experience, a 4 out of 5 movie itself, because it's a movie, it's got some enormous gaps in it. But so The Music Man, starring Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster, currently on Broadway at the Winter Garden Theater, is you know, it's a classical musical. It tells the story of a traveling con salesman mm-hmm. who goes into cities and sells them a bunch of instruments, even though he doesn't know how to teach the kids how to play it. And then he moves on his way and collects their money for the uniforms and the bands and da 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 da. He's a con man. He's a traveling salesman. And he goes into this particular town in Iowa and, you know, is doing all his old tricks. But this town is a little different. And there's a cheeky, snarky librarian who, you know, you guys know exactly where I'm going with all of this, where it's all going to go. She sees through right him, but she also gets a little smitten by him and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And music and tomfoolery and love story ensue. That's a pretty good recap.
That's a great recap.
I mean, I just riffed all that. I know mm-hmm. that sounded like I read that straight from the playbill.
It was great because you weren't upset when they started a number. When they started singing,
right.
You weren't like, oh, we got five more minutes to wait.
This one right here.
Before the plot advances. Kind of the opposite.
Now, also, I will say this. There are some perks to my world, and one of them is people knowing people and people attachment to industries and the occasional free ticket. This was like fifth row. I mean, we were like dead center, fifth row. Yeah,
fifth
it was
row.
Incredible.
It was
insane. We were very, very close.
We were so close
right.
to Hugh Jackman.
So your review, give us your review and then your rating of okay. The Music Man starring Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster.
I loved it. Of course, Broadway, you expect like the highest quality dancing, you know, like
set pieces, music,
the gymnastics, you know, the library scene,
the coordination.
They're throwing everything. They're, you know, doing handstands, all that stuff.
Right.
Singing, acting, like they're just like so sharp. There's just nothing like it. I think that Hugh Jackman just like his facial expressions were just so funny
mm-hmm.
and amazing. And same with Sutton Foster. Like they were just, she's very like dry with her performance.
Yeah.
And I am not super familiar with her. So I wasn't expecting
that. She's a Broadway star.
Yeah. But I was expecting like cutesy out of her.
You were expecting like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, like sweet. And that's not her at all. And she was very funny and in her role. And then the mayor and the mayor's wife were, I just loved it when they were on screen.
So good.
And then the opening scene on the train, just one of my top favorite play scenes.
I would have enjoyed that more if we weren't fighting at the time. That's not my favorite.
They're pretending like the train's moving and they're moving around with braking.
It's great.
And it's just such a good
music
number.
We swear they intentionally have a guy who's leading the first song because he looks like Hugh Jackman. Because you are spending a lot of time going, is that Hugh Jackman?
Where is Hugh Jackman?
Where is that? Is that him? Because it kind of looks like him. It looks like, is that his haircut? I don't remember. I guess, you know, everybody looks different in person. You know, Hollywood magic. Da, da, da. And then the Hugh Jackman reveal. You're like, oh, there's a star.
Yeah. And
all due respect to the first guy.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, Taylor, you and I are always talking about The Greatest Showman. That was his baby. So we just love it. So it was just really fun. It was really fun to see him on stage. Mel? Definitely 5 out of 5.
Bingo, 5 out of 5.
Yes.
There you go. I give it a 4.78 out of 5. The reality is The Music Man is not a great musical. It's just not. It's
we got trouble.
If that wasn't Sutton and Hugh and that cast, it would be a very fine musical. I've thought many times during that musical, this would be a real snooze fest.
It's also very long.
It's a 2.5 hour show.
Yeah.
It's very long. I was never bored. Everything did keep chipping along. It was great. I welcome intermission. Love an intermission. Got to pee every time. It was very crowded. The lines you were being barked at. Ladies, please hurry up.
I said, please.
Yeah.
Please hurry up.
They were great. It was so funny. It was entertaining. It was like, these are literally the best performers on the planet. So you're going to get cream of the crop. I would say if this Music Man is touring to your city, I would not under any circumstance see it unless I had Hugh Jackman and Sutton. And
unless
maybe even the rest
of it. Unless you love the play.
Unless you love the play, which you might. But that's why it's so endearing, because he was like salesman number two in high school. And so this was like a full circle thing for him. And as someone who's an entertainer, you go, oh, this was a baby project for you. This was mm-hmm. something that was important to you. And I love this because you love this. You are Hugh Jackman and you could do anything you want. And you are Sutton Foster and you can do anything
you
want. You have all the talent, all the charm. When it all one person is very frustrating. It's you and Jamie Foxx. You just get to do everything and it's very annoying. And you chose this. here, Broadway. It's great. It's very, very entertaining, even though as a play, as a show, it is a real snooze fest. But you know what? So is The Greatest Showman. It's not an amazing story.
It's not.
But I want a musical to be music led. I want it to be, and I need it to be funny. There are so many musicals that I go, oh my gosh, if that's not funny, I just can't do it. I can't hang. But it was great. She was funny.
She was very funny.
Yeah. So there you guys go. Everybody, thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys so much. That's it. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks for listening, folks. Want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That is the $25 a month and up patrons. Those are Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Code to Grow, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, Tiffany Payne, Farah Journey, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Taran, Taryn Isaac, I always mess that up, my bad, Lori Amos, Carrie Teague, Forgotten Friend Reptile Sanctuary, Jordan Cowan, Courtney Ebling, and Juliana Smith. Thank you guys so much for what you give to the pod.